Hey, it's J-Dog from the Pulse of New Hampshire in Fernazzi, and with me right now is a true Renaissance man. He is a doting grandfather. He is a swell dancer. He is a sharp dresser. He loves cats. He loves kittens. He loves kids, and also an author. Also, Steve Ballmer's roommate at Harvard, by the way. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the longest-running host Pulse of New Hampshire with long curly hair, and that will continue. He is the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. He is Mr. Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you?
Thanks, Jay, and thank you for adding the Microsoft connection. So yes, Steve Ballmer, and actually before that, Mr. Gates himself was friends of mine until he made his billions, and I'm toiling in dental insurance. But I get to do radio, and I'm not sure that Gates and Ballmer are doing radio. So this is great. This radio show has afforded me so many opportunities to learn about things and get out into the community. And one of my most favorite things that we sponsor at Northeast Delta Dental has been the Helios Safety Symposium for several years. And so I'm so glad that the Pulse has provided me with this opportunity to you know, get the word out there. So I'll introduce all three of the guests. We have Paul Dean, UNH Police Chief, John Stevens, Community College System of New Hampshire Trustee and Co-Chair of the Helios Safety. And we'll start with John and then Russ Conti, retired major from the New Hampshire State Police. So John, you and I go way back on the Helios Symposiums. I remember vividly, like it was yesterday, when we had it at the NHGI campus and had the speaker from the shootings at the University of Virginia. And it was just so compelling. And this whole field of mental health, I've been working with Chief Justice John Broderick for so many years on this. So it's so important. So I appreciate the fact that you three gentlemen, we'll start with you, have really still with it and still making it so vibrant. So I think take a step back, John, and just tell us a little bit of the background, how it got started and why it's so important.
Well, Tom, thanks once again. It's always great to be back with you on your program. Certainly the Helios Safety Symposium is something that is near and dear to us as we have been able to sustain this now for, this will be the seventh annual Helios Safety Symposium. And it's named after Nick Helios. Nick was a former major of the New Hampshire State Police. He retired and became chief of police at the University of New Hampshire. Nick was a great individual, passionate about law enforcement and safety, passionate about education. And it seems only fitting that we were able to continue this symposium in his name and really attach it to a mental health opportunity for those that participate. So, becoming one of the three pillars of NAMI in regards to education, the Helios Symposium has become significant to the educational community and first responders statewide. So once again, Tom, we are very happy to be able to talk to you about the Helios Symposium and what it will mean to people who attend this year.
It's such a mitzvah, a good deed for society. It is running on August 11th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. At the University of New Hampshire in Durham. So the title is Compassion, Understanding, and Addressing the Extent of Depression. So before we ask Paul and Russ to say a few words and talk about their background, tell us kind of the people we should thank for developing such a robust agenda.
Well, I mean, the title in and of itself is very intriguing, but in all honesty, when you boil it down to the brass facts, we're really talking about suicide prevention. And we've been very happy to associate ourselves with a group called Boulder Crest and Lighthouse. They've come to us through the FirstNet opportunity throughout the entire country regarding to connecting first responders on a broadband capability. And they actually presented at the FirstNet Summit at UNH back in May. And I thought that their information, their message was so intriguing that it was important for us to really kind of associate that with the Ahalia Symposium and bring them back to provide this to a wider audience.
Awesome. So let's bring in Russ Conte, who is a retired major from New Hampshire State Police. And Russ, you're also the wellness coordinator and past NAMI president. Tell us your involvement with this, and then I'll turn it over to Paul.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. Always a pleasure to be here. Always a pleasure to talk about the Ahalia Symposium. You know, it has become one of the big three seminars, conferences in the state relevant to mental health, and it's got, you know, such a great following. But I'm, you know, the mental health coordinator. Yes, I am a past president with NAMI New Hampshire. I also chair the State Suicide Prevention Conference. And, you know, my association has been really purely of luck and of work and of association with people like John and Paul and certainly Nick Halias, who I worked for many years ago when I was a lot younger. And I think that the Halias Symposium really has become, you know, one of those forefront, forward-facing, you know, conferences that really brings it all together, and especially for first responders and especially for the college community and higher education and just communities in general. And I think there's a lot to be said of what we're coming out of with the pandemic. There's a lot to be said of first responders in the challenges that they meet in real time. And there's a lot to be said for the people that stay committed to it. And that is something that Nick Halias did. It's something that we're all proud of to be associated with them. And I think this symposium really speaks volumes for the timely and necessary, you know, help and associations we need to develop right now.
So compelling. Probably will save a life, but obviously just general awareness is important. So, Paul, you're the UNH police chief and co-chair of the symposium. So tell us about the mechanics. When did you decide that you could do it in person again? And tell us your involvement both as the co-chair, but also how this will affect the UNH community by having this on site.
Thanks, Tom. It's good seeing you. Good seeing you in this role. I'll often see you in other roles.
Thanks, Chief.
And, you know, Tom, I've been involved in this. Nick was my police chief. He after he retired from state police, came here, and he was my mentor. And the one thing that Nick was compassionate about was higher education, people achieving it, but also successfully being able to navigate it from a safety standpoint. And his compassion goes so deep for people. He was such a giving person. College has become so complicated, I think, for people, and navigating it as an individual is. And we've seen in a decline over the last several years of the coping skills in young people. And I see it very clearly here. You know, the last time that, you know, we were full bore here at UNH was in 2019. And, you know, we were taking, you know, 80 plus people to the Portsmouth Pavilion for mental health issues, ranging in for the full spectrum. And it's giving those who work with young people, K through 12, higher education, the tools on their tool belt to help identify, be aware, and also give them resources that they can work with. But more importantly for me, this is personal. In 96, my brother committed suicide. And my family had no sign, no pre-warning. And, you know, as a police officer just starting my 38th year, you know, it still haunts me that I couldn't even see those things in my brother, and I'm a trained professional. So why is this so passionate for me is that I want to make sure we do everything we can to not have another family like mine have to go through that. And the Halias Symposium really came out of a discussion with John and I for keeping Nick's name alive. And, it's just so powerful, and it's become such a powerful training. And like Russ said, you know, it's part of, you know, the big three in mental health. And, you know, I'd love to be able to tell you that this is our last year. There's no need for us to raise money anymore for this. But unfortunately, that's never going to be the case. And we're raising money from this. So this isn't money that, you know, we're getting, you know, for anybody else. So if your listeners are out there and you're interested in donating to this, all the money, 100% of it goes to the program to pay for instructors and the highest quality people to be able to come to here. And the lineup that we have this year is simply amazing. And it's really important to understand that first responders are also teachers. First responders are everybody who's on the front line when it comes to our K through 12, or how I say it, 16th grade for higher education, because it really is important that everybody who's a first responder have tools available, because with those tools, they just might be able to get somebody into counseling.
After we return from break, we'll get into the specifics of the program. For people interested, you go on the Halias Safety Symposium on Facebook under the UNH Police Department's page. And don't underestimate what this is doing. We have had a couple of speakers, our own employee base, Dennis Gillen and Justice Broderick, and basically confidentially definitely has saved lives. And what you're doing for the greater community is amazing. And that whole resiliency skills that what employers are looking for, Baldrige Performance Excellence, it's right there. So, Jay, when we return from commercial break, we'll get into more specifics. Good time to break?
Absolutely. It's a good time to break. We will break and come back with Chief Paul Dean, along with Major Russ Conti and John Stevens, the Halias Symposium that's upcoming at the University of New Hampshire. And we'll take a break here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. Welcome back. It is Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Alongside Tom Raffio is Chief Baldeen, as well as Major Russ Conti and John Stevens. And we're talking about the upcoming Halias Symposium, which will be taking place at the University of New Hampshire. And I don't want to take any more time, Tom, so I'll take it away.
Great. So is it free to the public, gentlemen? And is there you must register, and is there a capacity? So we want to make sure people, you know, register early so no one gets shut out. Tell us about that process.
Tom, certainly it's open to anyone who has any interest in attending. Certainly I think it's a subject matter that anyone would find of interest based on what is happening, unfortunately, nationwide in regards to people who, through whatever is happening in their life, should even contemplate the seriousness of this type of event. So certainly open to the public. You can certainly register online. It comes at no cost, and we would certainly love to have you there. The room that is provided by Chief Dean in the University of New Hampshire is large enough that I think that we can accommodate mostly anyone.
And that's the Memorial Union Building, again, Thursday, August 11th, so it's coming right up, 8 to 5 p.m., hosted by UNH, University System of New Hampshire, and the Community College System, and also NHCUC. And my fellow CEO colleagues, definitely worth putting your money where your mouth is and donating, because definitely doing a mitzvah for the community and definitely saving lives in the process. Let's segue a little bit to the first responders. You'd mentioned that they're probably doing some of the teaching, but they're also obviously constantly exposed to traumatic events on the job. So I'm assuming that not only are they teachers, but they're also clientele. So I don't know if, Russ, you want to take that or take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very lucky in the presenters to have a background in the first responder community. And I think that's important because it is a profession that, unless you've experienced it, it's kind of hard to describe. And it's not like television. It's not like people can assume. And it's not only the traumatic events that happen that are significant and that can mark one's career, but it's also you know, the cumulative effect of many, many, many years of seeing things. And I think when you talk about recovery, when you talk about addressing it, when you talk about building resilient first responders, you have to take it all into account. It has to start very early, and it has to carry through. And frankly, it has to carry through to retirement, so that people have healthy, you know, safe and enjoyable retirements. And many times, you know, people walk away as first responders, careers, and they don't have the peace that they should have in retirement. So it is great to have people that are involved in the first responder community. And we always try to get presenters that, you know, strike to the core of it for the Halius Symposium.
So they can demonstrate the empathy for sure. What about the, you know, we talked about first responders, but tell us how the mental health assets for the first responders and the general public. Tell me about that crossover.
Yeah, I'm happy to. There's a lot that crosses over. And the one thing that I think was a fallacy is that it had to be different for the two groups. Recovery is recovery. And when you come through trauma, when you're coming back from post-traumatic or acute stress, it's the same for everybody. And there's a lot of professions that don't, you know, require people to be first responders that are, and you mentioned many in the healthcare situation and the mental health care, you know, situation that don't require you to be the first one to be called, but you're constantly going to be exposed to people that have, you know, seen trauma and have dealt with traumatic events. So I think the crossover is something that we didn't, you know, we didn't really recognize significantly enough when we started. And now the nice thing is, as we build out these programs and use first responders in peer services, we know that there's clinicians out there that know us, that want to help us, and that apply those same great tools that they did for many, many years in regular communities. And we're having some tremendous results.
That's great. Stigma. Now, I have an expression that I use with my managers and employee colleagues is that, you know, if someone comes into your office and says, well, like you, Paul, I need meniscus surgery and I'm going to be out 2 weeks. That's a comfortable conversation. Take 2 weeks, see in two. But if the same person came in and said, you know, I'm struggling with my mental health or my spouse's mental health or a family member, you know, it's much more uncomfortable. And sometimes those conversations don't occur. So I know you all have the same objective that I do and Justice Broderick, that we want to be able to talk about mental health transparently and in the most comfortable way, you know, possible. So what do you think we're making strides in reducing the stigma, or at least people being able to talk about? Because, you know, when I was growing up, I think we inch along as society, because when I was growing up, if the neighbor had cancer, it was all on the hush hush, things like that. And, you know, now we celebrate prostate cancer walks and breast cancer walks. Do you think we're moving in the right direction when it comes to mental health? Any one of you could take it.
I'll start off. I think absolutely, but I think we have a long ways to go. And I think we have an example today. I mean, you know, Chief Dean, to be able to talk about a family member is something that would have never happened many years ago. And I think those are the things that provide examples to people. And again, the hope is really, it's, you know, you get a physical injury or a psychological injury, it's the same. And you come back, you go through the process, you have the same welcoming, you know, feeling coming back to the workplace as you did with any other injury. But we have a ways to go, but I think it's something that constantly gets worked on. And we're finally, not only in the first responder group, but in society, talking about it to the level that it needs to be discussed.
Yeah. More and more you see professional athletes talking about it, and obviously Olympic athletes, et cetera. So I do think we're inching along. Chief Dean, do you want to comment on that as well?
Yeah, I do think that we're moving along. I am concerned that there's still, in our first responder ranks, a concern that if their bosses or city officials know that they're seeking mental health, that we're somehow broken, that you know, we carry a gun, we do things. They may not be openly saying about it, but I think there's a nervousness that it's going to affect their future in an organization, promotions, etc. And so we have to do a lot more work on that, that first responders who seek help are actually the ones that are you are trying to work hard. If you keep them in the dark, then it becomes more difficult. There doesn't seem to be a day that goes by now that I don't see somewhere in the United States a first responder or a police officer taking his or her life. And you know, my first thought is, you know, what could we have done to stop that from happening? And Russ is doing amazing work with first responders on our state level with CIT training. And we're typical of New Hampshire, we're facing this thing head on with the support of not only the Department of Safety, the commissioner, but also the governor in dealing with this. But we got to do more to protect our first responders so that they can get well. You know, I saw a statistic that the average first responder in their career sees at least 800 critical incidents, experiences that of all different levels, and that the average person may only see, you know, 2 to 10 in their life. So it is important we take care of them. It is important we make it that discussion very calmly, like, you're going to go get your checkup, you should get your mental health checkup, and that shouldn't be seen as, oh, they're broken, you need to replace them.
Yeah, that's definitely our society's goal. John, you obviously, you're retired state police, but you saw, I'm sure, in your long distinguished career, a lot of trauma. And how do you feel like your colleagues did with that? And have you seen, from the time you started and until you retired, have we become a little bit more comfortable with the sort of mental health checkup without, as the chief said, feeling like, oh my God, if I admit that, I'm admitting weakness and they'll take away my gun or whatever. Have we evolved a little bit beyond that?
Well, Tom, I think Paul and Russ and I can all look back early in our careers. And we can tell you that back then, to mention the fact of mental illness or a mental issue would be catastrophic to an individual's career. I think we have made significant gains, particularly in the last 10 to 15 years in regards to recognizing mental health, certainly amongst first responders, and offering up opportunities for them to seek guidance. And as Paul mentioned, certainly Russ is spearheading that opportunity through the state police in regards to providing that level of comfort to first responders for them to be able to seek the help that they need. I know from my time with the state police, I know of many individuals that live with the acts that they had seen in their past, and they live still with it every day. Having the opportunity to be able to discuss that back then would have been significantly important to them, which we unfortunately provide. We didn't provide it back then, but we fortunately provide it now.
I think one of the keys is gentlemen like you that are willing to talk about it. I know when Justice Broderick and I would make presentations to law enforcement, just having people come up and talk about it, you lead by example. Let's in 30 seconds maybe end with Russ talking about how New Hampshire, kind of Paul talked on a little bit, but how we're blessed in that we have a really good coordinated effort. And again, the symposium is August 11th. So tell us the coordinating effort, Russ, and then we'll end it.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. And thanks for addressing this important topic. I think the one thing New Hampshire's always had is these communities and the first responder community is really relatively small. And you have people that continuously work with each other. They know each other. They've built relationships over many, many years. So you have a collaborative effort on all ends. And this is, it's a very interesting, profession in that you have the same challenges from day one till the last day. You get on the job and you can have a week on the job and you're going to see the same stuff that somebody that's been on around a long, long time. So I think we're wrapping our head around it. We're taking a collaborative effort. We're starting regional peer counseling units. The state police is always involved. We're extending that to emergency communications personnel and to other support personnel that we didn't recognize early on, even a decade ago, that were as affected as first responders. So I think it's a team effort. And I think awesome. The Halia Symposium is something that that pulls it all together.
Ties it all together. That's Thursday, August 11th. Google Halia Safety Symposium. Want a great turnout. Want my fellow CEO colleagues to donate. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the 988 program, but we'll do that the next time. Thanks, gentlemen, for your leadership and probably the most important topic, you know, of current society. J-Dog.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Chief Dean, as well as Major Conti and John Stevens. And again, the Halia Symposium is at the University of New Hampshire on August 11th. And for John, Major, Chief, and Tom Raffio, I am J-Dog, and this was Northeast Delta Dental Radio. We'll have another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio down the line here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.